101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault joining us. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. Sparks flew yesterday at the City Council work session, mostly concerning the funding, $125,000 coming from the city, but it's going to be going to the sheriff to operate staff. Shouldn't that funding come from the Caddo Parish Commission?
Well, of course, the sheriff has his own budget, so I'm not sure where it ought to come from. But some members of the council felt strongly that there needed to be a robust domestic violence center, and more robust than they believed was going to be possible at the North Market substation. And so they met with the sheriff and came up with a plan, apparently.
Would this be a city employee? Would these be city employees if it's city money funding them?
As I understand it, I haven't seen the plan, but as I understand it, this would be a contractual obligation of the city to the sheriff, and that the and whether those would be sheriff's office employees or other employees, I do not know.
Do you support this idea?
I don't oppose it. I don't know enough about it to support it or oppose it, but I don't oppose it. I think that we do have a serious domestic violence problem, and it deserves a serious response.
Should you have been in on the planning of this? I mean, you and the sheriff sit down, or you and the council member sit down and go, hey, this is an idea. What do you think about it? I mean, I think they left you out of the process, and I'm not sure why. You should have been involved, I think. You agree?
Well, that would have been the optimum way to approach it, yes.
Taking the $125,000 out of the police equipment fund is what I read in the legislation. These are ongoing expenses. This is for employee salaries. Would we every year be taking this money from that fund? Is that what we would end up doing?
Well, I think that's part of the questions that I guess I'll have to answer when I look at the plan.
Bad idea to take money from our equipment budget?
What happens in year two?
Right.
What happens in year three?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, these are ongoing funding needs.
Correct.
And again, I just have questions about this city funding parish activities. I mean, if it's going to be sheriff running that, it should. I think that those fundings should come from the sheriff budget.
That's certainly a valid point of view.
Also, is Project Celebration going to be involved in this domestic violence center? That came up yesterday. Do we know anything yet?
I do. In terms of what they're planning with the $125,000, I think the answer to that is a clear no. Whether Project Celebration should be involved in other aspects that may be ancillary to this, I don't know.
Because I'll read you from the latest audit that was released earlier this month regarding Project Celebration, and I'm quoting, "substantial doubt about ability to continue as a going concern." It kind of rings true of the Bossier Arts Council. This is an entity that's got some financial struggles. They had a cash at the end of the year of negative $54,000. If this is going to be run by Project Celebration, I would have some serious questions. I guess you would too.
Well, I can tell you that in terms of the cooperative endeavor agreement that's proposed with the sheriff, I feel certain that they will not be involved. The question is what role, if any, will Project Celebration have? And I haven't seen the audit, and so I don't know. I have not had any discussions with Project Celebration.
Well, I heard Grayson Butcher say yesterday, if Project Celebration was involved, he is a no.
I heard him clearly say that.
Why hadn't you seen the plan? Do you know who dropped the ball? Why the mayor wasn't included?
I really don't know. Certainly, the council has the prerogative to propose to propose items, and I respect that. I do think this is one that I should have been involved in. I had one meeting with Grayson Butcher, who told me he had an idea, but he wasn't ready to disclose it to me.
They could finally act on it today? Is that accurate? Is it a two-reader?
Right, yes.
So what do you spend the day today trying to get information? What are you looking for? What do you need to know?
I don't need to know anything until it's passed.
And then you have to decide if you veto it or not, I guess.
Or what I do with it.
Right. Do you have concerns about spending money on a program that you won't have any control over?
I don't know how we're going to have some contractual obligations on the part of the sheriff. So I'm not sure that I would say I won't have any control over it. I have always have concerns about programs that I have not been involved in or advised about.
All right. It's interesting.
Very, very interesting. Still a lot of questions.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Good work, by the way, on getting the smart meters in. I was glad to see that y'all are way ahead of schedule and only have about 17% of the city left. Thank you for that. I'm still waiting on mine, though, so get them over there, please.
Well, you're in the 17%. Maybe they couldn't pass over Ninth Street.
Yeah, maybe that could be it, too. Yeah, they're still working on Ninth Street. Don't get me started on
really
that one.
I don't know the answer to that question, Aaron, but... I couldn't help a little dig.
I appreciate that. Thank you a bunch. It'll be done in a month, I'm told. We'll see.
Great.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Shreveport Fair Mayor enough. Tom Arsenault, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Now, obviously, that was from yesterday morning.
Yes, our interview with the mayor was yesterday.
Yes.
And so the action has been taken, and it was interesting to watch. We're talking about the city council was proposing spending $125,000 for staffing for a domestic violence center in North Shreveport. The council decided to pull that measure from the agenda, essentially saying, nope, oops, we're not doing this. And it turns out that talking about the domestic violence center being at the North Market Street substation wasn't even accurate at all.
See, this blows my mind. And how did this get so convoluted?
That's the exact word I texted the sheriff. I said, this got so convoluted, nobody even knew what was going on. And so I asked the sheriff, and I'm quoting, I assume you are moving forward with plans for a domestic violence center at North Market, which is what everybody thought was happening.
Right.
He said, I am moving forward with plans at 1501 Corporate Drive, which is just off North Hearn and Forum Drive, which is where Caddo Correctional Center is.
Okay.
It's property the sheriff owns across the street from the jail. And
okay.
I said, oh, so not at the substation. And he says the substation was not a part of the Caddo Parish Sheriff's Office plan.
Never even planned on doing it there.
He was never planning on doing it there.
So how did the city council, how did the city even get involved in all of that
then? I'm not sure. And I'm not sure if we were told during the city council work session, and maybe I heard it wrong, that there were only two offices available at the North Market substation that would be available for domestic violence center. I assume they've met with the sheriff and they knew his plan was at the corporate drive address. I don't know how it got convoluted. Somebody can help me and explain that. But the sheriff's moving forward. He's going to run it. He may have some partners. Project Celebration may be a partner. We don't know yet on that.
So funding would come from?
The sheriff.
Okay.
He's going to fund it. The city's not funding any of it. Maybe at a later date they will do something. But they still all said they're committed to helping with domestic violence. But to take money from the police equipment fund to pay for staff was never a good idea. And whoever thought that was a good idea, shame on you on managing our budget. That's not a good idea.
Right.
Because
right.
What are we doing for those staff next year? And I understand they thought, oh, this is just a one-year, you know, temporary fix. We'll find the funding for next year somewhere
else. Are you going to find? You're going to fire the employees after a year?
Well, no, they would have found the money somewhere else. But it is going to be there. It will be a domestic violence center now. What it will encompass? You know, will there be a director? Will Project Celebration staff run it? All that still has to be vetted and ironed out. I'm sure the sheriff knows more about it. Hopefully we can get him to come in and explain, you know, what's the plan, what's going to be involved up there. I did get a text this morning from someone who was questioning. I'm going to read it directly.
The location.
Is there no thought as to where they are intending on placing this domestic violence center, right by their abusers in jail? What?
Interesting.
I never thought about that. But I'll be quite blunt. If you get arrested for domestic violence, you're not likely to spend much time in jail. You're not likely. You're likely to bond out pretty quickly. I mean, in the grand scheme of things.
Wow,
but what if when you're bonding out, your victim is coming to the domestic violence center to get help? You're bonding out across the street.
Well, what are the odds of that, though?
Well,
I mean,
I know.
Timing-wise.
The other good thing about it is that's sheriff's property. There will be deputies there. There will be lots of law enforcement there.
Sure.
So you're not going to be without protection when you're coming and going from that facility. So that's property the sheriff has. He can utilize it. He realizes we have a domestic violence problem. So he wants to address it, and he wants to put this program in place and get it up and going as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So that's where it'll be. The North Market part of the equation right now is kind of off the table.
So it's I remember specifically the chief talking about there will be a place for, like, parents swapping kids during the week, that kind of thing. So And I remember him saying, like, a family center at specifically the North Market location.
They talked about a family justice center, but that has fallen by the wayside. That's really all encompassing with the district attorney's office there, with, you know, lots of agencies there.
So what's the difference in a family justice center and a domestic violence center?
You would have more people there. You would have more advocates for the victims. You would have more services available, possibly counseling available. You could have lots of other entities involved. I think the substations are still all going to be used for a custody exchange. I think there are signs. I know the one on Monkhouse has a sign out front, custody exchange or property exchange. Like, if you buy something online and you want to swap it, you know, you want to pay for it, you bring it to the substation. That's where we'll do our business, so that you have police officers
like
nearby.
Like Facebook Marketplace or something. If you buy a four-wheeler, go bring it there.
Right. All the substations are serving as that kind of a place, so people can not have to worry about meeting somebody at their home or in a remote location. So, and that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing.
There could be criminals trying to sell or buy stuff online. You never know.
Yeah, and you can weed out a lot of scams by going, okay, we'll meet at the police substation.
Abso-freaking-lutely, you bet. If they're a scammer, they might not show up.
Senator Bill Cassidy spoke to us yesterday about some of his bills. Hear what he has to say after the news at bottom of the hour. What proposals?
Is he going to be at the debate?
Well, yeah, we already know that. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, everybody wants to know, is Senator Cassidy going to be participating in the debate on the Moon Griffon show? He told us. Hear what he had to say. Right after the break, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, U.S. Senator Bill Cassidy joining us. Senator, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Michael and Aaron. How are y'all?
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us. You've got legislation pending to address insider trading. Actually, it affects members of Congress. Explain what this legislation will do.
Right now, it is legal for a member of Congress to trade individual stocks, even if the company involved has presented before their subcommittee, before their committee. Now, I sit on committees. You get information sent to you that is kind of curated from everything. Some of it is, you know, not for public consumption. Some of it is market moving. And so right now, if you haven't noticed, people don't trust Congress to do the right thing. One way to restore that trust is to say, wait a second. If you're on a committee, or even if you just have in Congress, you should not be able to trade individual stocks. Yes, a mutual fund, but not an individual stock. Obviously, it's an issue in my Senate campaign. Congresswoman Letlow has done very well doing these individual stocks, some of which have become before her subcommittees. But it's bigger than that. It's how do we restore the faith of the American people in Congress, and this is a step towards doing that.
Well, Nancy Pelosi would go, I didn't trade, but my husband did.
Yeah, and I guess they didn't sleep together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, point is that people can pass on information very easily. And that's just not right.
Would it ban spouses also?
So it is for family members as well. And so kind of a group effort, if you will. And so we're trying to look at that sort of loophole that would, oh, yeah, I'm staying within the law. But in reality, you're not staying within the law. Well, not the spirit of the law.
Senator Cassidy, let's ask you the hot topic around here right now. Moon Graffon hosting a debate. Letlow and Fleming will be there. Will you be there?
I can't be there. That said, you know, having a debate on, I have proposed three TV debates, one of which is in Shreveport. When it's in prime time, having a debate in the mid-morning when people are at work, at school, or taking their children to school is a little bit like a Joe Biden strategy of campaigning. You know, hide in his basement and hope that nobody notices.
He says it's going to be televised. He says it's going to be on the internet. People can go back and watch it later.
Yeah, absolutely you can. And who's going to do that? How many times have you gone back and watched an episode of Keel later on in the day? Maybe you do, but like as great as y'all are and as much listeningship as you have, it's just not going to happen.
Well, we do have a message I'm looking at right now. Will there be a way to watch the debate afterwards? There are people that are interested that will watch it after.
I'm sure there will be. And you tell me, are there going to be more people who watch it afterwards or more people who would watch it if it was on a televised debate when it's like 6 or 7 p.m. in the evening? Now, there's no comparison there. Again, this is the Joe Biden strategy of debate. You hide in your basement, you hope nobody notices. Reality is there should be a televised debate with as much broadcast as possible so that the people of Louisiana can see questions answered, you know, compare records, who's accomplished a lot, who's accomplished, you know, frankly, nothing, who's worked hard for the good of the state, I have, who's worked hard for the good of their stock portfolio. Well, we've already talked about Ms. Letlow.
Ms. Letlow and Congress and Treasurer Fleming in a televised debate?
Absolutely. That's what I've been calling for. That's what I've been saying. We should be here to serve the American people, to serve the people of Louisiana. And the way you serve them best is to make yourself most accessible. And so most accessible in our day and age means a television interview at prime time.
But when Adrian Perkins ran against you, you wouldn't debate him. What's changed?
It's clearly a different debate. At that time, I was like 20 points ahead. In this debate, we're all kind of a little bit closer. And so, I mean, like, you know, it's two different elections. And so clearly the people of Louisiana had already spoken in that race.
So I just want to be clear. You are not going to attend the debate with Moon Graffon.
No, I'm going to. I'm hoping that Congresswoman Letlow will acknowledge that the people of Louisiana deserve a debate which is not the equivalent of hiding out in Joe Biden's basement, but a debate which is on prime time on TV, in which she can explain, if she thinks I've been unfair about her stock trades, then she should have the opportunity to express that. If she wants to say, you know, why she's not passed a single bill in Congress and compare that to the dozens that I've practiced, that I've passed, that President Trump has signed into law, then she should have an opportunity to do that. But again, that's not hiding out in the basement of Joe Biden's.
Senator Cassidy, let me ask you, you say that the Perkins race was different. You were clearly way ahead. Are you struggling right now? Are you fighting?
No. Well, put it this way. You're running the race every time like you just got to make up ground. That said, latest poll has me beating Ms. Sletlow. And beating John Fleming. And so, but on the other hand, you don't take it for granted. And so the issue in this debate, which is a Republican primary, which, by the way, let me just say, is May 16th. And if you're a Democrat who's been voting Republican for a while, you're not going to be able to vote unless you change to no party or Republican, which you can do very easily if you go to geauxvote.com, govote.com. So otherwise, you're not going to be able to vote. Let me just say that. And we just need to air this out so that all those voters, every voter, has a chance to hear each candidate explain their record and to explain, okay, I've been criticized for this. Let me explain that. I think that's the way to go.
Where are we on getting the Department of Homeland Security back open? That is a problem.
Yes, there is a credible, the word on the street here, the word in the Senate chamber last night, was that there's a deal that's about to happen. Now, it should have been open 6 weeks ago, but Democrats just had to prove, by golly, they were going to fight President Trump, that by golly, they were just not going to roll over. So instead, we waited 6 weeks. We've got all these American people inconvenienced. Some of our fellow Americans who work for FEMA or TSA not getting paid, they have for a deal that we could have had 6 weeks ago. But I do think there's a deal about to be made, and at which point, hopefully, things turn back to normal and people's bank accounts aren't irreparably damaged.
Do you think this confirmation of Mark Wayne Mullen as DHS secretary will help facilitate the reopening?
I think it will. Well, one, the reopening could have happened 6 weeks ago. But I do think that Mark Wayne, who's got management skills, a very successful businessman, who has got good relations with Senate and congressional Democrats, he's got the credibility to go to them and say, listen, this is what I'm trying to do. Give me a little bit of time. I think he's got that ability. I think he's going to help tremendously at that department.
Senator Bill Cassidy, thanks for your time, sir.
Hey, thank you both.
You bet.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Oh, Aaron makes me laugh. It makes me laugh.
I know.
He never did answer what he was going to be doing instead of the debate.
Yeah.
Now, he is a U.S. senator.
He's busy.
He's 11 to 1 is that's a tough time, I would think.
9 to 11.
That's what I said. 9 to 11.
I got a text.
But 11 to 1 would be tough too.
It would be either one. That dude danced around every question about the debate. Literally would not vote for him just because of that.
Oh, wow.
You know, say I'm getting my toenails done. Say something.
Or you know what? Just say no. I'm not doing it. It's not worth my time.
It's a bad time of the day. I kind of think that's what he said.
Yeah.
He kind of said, you know, 9 to 11 in the morning, nobody's watching. Nobody's listening to that. I beg to differ. Moon Griffon has a lot of listeners. And they're the conservative listeners. They're the ones you need. Or is he just saying, I'm not going to get them anyway? I'm not going to get Moon listeners. I think that's what he's saying. Well, I have no chance getting those listeners. Why go in front of them?
Well, yeah.
I mean, what do we get when we have Cassidy on? What messages do we get all the time?
When people they tell us they're tuning out.
I'm bye. I'm gone. Not listening
bill,
to him.
They call yeah.
So I, you know, though we don't like it, I understand his point. You're going in a room where the people that are listening to you, you have no chance of winning them over. If they are staunch Republicans, they are not voting for Bill Cassidy, and he knows that. And he's like, so why go in the room? I mean, it's politics 101.
Yeah.
Why go in the room?
Because you only have to lose. You have nothing to gain.
Nothing to gain. There's nobody in that room that's going to change their mind and vote for you. You voted against Trump. You will forever be the senator who voted, the Republican senator who voted against Trump. They will never forgive you.
Now, I got a text yesterday during the interview that I thought was an interesting point. It said, if I were Moon, I would ask Senator Cassidy, you said at the time you voted to impeach President Trump that if we knew what you knew, we would agree with your decision. Is there anything you have learned or witnessed in the last 6 years that perhaps has given you reason to reconsider that vote? Well, obviously, because he's aligned himself with Trump ever since then, especially since Trump got reelected, and said, you know, he and Trump has closed the border, and he and Trump have done this and that. But I want to ask him, what can you share about what you knew at the time? What did you know at the time that caused you to vote to impeach the president?
And we've asked him about that, and we asked him if he would vote differently, and he has said no. He would not vote differently. He would vote the same. He has said that over and over again because of what he knew.
Right.
Now, getting into the minutia of what he knew, I don't think he wants to do that.
Well, and I understand that.
But it that vote may likely cost him the race. But he said something, and we missed it. We missed it, and I hate when I do that. He said something about, transparent. We should all be accessible and transparent. Well, where were you when you were the U.S. senator and Adrian Perkins wanted to debate you? You weren't accessible then. You weren't and transparent and accessible then. You refused to debate him.
But he said, I was ahead by 20 points.
But you still have to be transparent and accessible, shouldn't you?
Well, but to me, that's very telling.
Right. He knows he's in trouble.
He knows he's not ahead by 20 points this time.
Oh, he's not even close to being ahead.
Right. No, of course not.
And he knows it, and he knows he's in trouble. So now he wants to be accessible and transparent. Things changed. Things changed.
Okay, this pickleball park.
Oh, we're going to fight about this.
Has come back into the news.
Oh, yeah. This is exclusive, by the way. Nobody else has this story yet. FYI.
We'll talk about this after the news top of the hour.
You're going to blow a gasket. I'm just telling you.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
I'm going to hurt you today.
No, you're not.
I might.
Throw that apple at me. I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, too, so the apple ain't flying.
Okay. Pickleball complex. Back in the news, the Caddo Parish Commission is moving forward, and I'm checking this story out on a website that I trust for news, keelnews.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's... Okay, they're not going through the bid process.
Here's what I heard.
And you're upset about this.
Yeah. I heard a little comment from Erica Bryant, who I really trust. I think she's honorable, honest government official. I don't think there's anything underhanded about this at all.
And she's not a commissioner.
Nope,
she is.
She's the administrator.
Administrator.
She's the head cheese.
Right.
And I heard her make a little comment at the work session a week or so ago. Said we were going to use the CMAR process instead of the bid law for the pickleball complex. And my ears went, whoa.
And everybody just came, said, okay, and then moved on. Nothing else was said.
They didn't vote on it. They didn't vote on it. She's just, we're going through the CMAR process.
Okay.
And I can't believe I have never heard of the CMAR process. So I inquired with her, with Ms. Bryant. I sent her an email saying, I heard you say something about not using the bid process for the pickleball complex and using something else. Can you explain? And she replied to me, yes, we're going to use the CMAR process that the state has allowed, which is called Construction Management at Risk.
CMAR.
And she says the goal is to speed up the process and save money.
Right. She says it will save time and reduce costs.
Yes.
I'm all for that.
Well, I'm for that when you have an administration and leadership that is above board, which I think she is. So I'm not as concerned about pickleball as I am.
To say, whoa.
What if all government entities go, I'm going to use CMAR for everything? Because what you get to do under CMAR, let me follow this conclusion. You get to hire your design team.
Okay.
You pick your design team. Then your design team recommends your construction companies. Now, I guess you probably would request, let's see three proposals, perhaps, or something like that. I don't know how detailed it gets. But your design team designs it like you want it. You tell them what you want. We want 19 pickleball courts. We want so many of them covered. We want, shrubbery, et cetera. Your design team designs it, and then they go out and find your contractors. Now, the good thing about it is that how many people really design pickleball courts?
Right.
So you want a design team that's what they do.
Knows what they're doing.
Right. You want a construction company that knows what they do with how to build pickleball courts. If you go through the public bid process, anybody that thinks they can build a pickleball court, or they've built tennis courts before, or they've built parks before,
or thinks they can do recycling program that don't even have a truck. Let's talk about the bid process for just a moment. You get the lowest bid.
Mm-hmm.
You take, I don't know how many you get, how many bids from companies.
Right.
Okay. You could get 20. You could get 100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I understand in the bid process, you have specifications they must follow. Here's what we want. Here's how it needs to be done.
Sure.
But when you're designing, you're not an engineer.
Right.
Okay. And then you go through, weed out, and you take the lowest bid.
Mm-hmm.
How's that lowest bid working out on Knight Street?
Oh, Reuben, hit him with something?
I'm just wondering.
Hit him with...
They're a year overdue so far?
Well, they've screwed
stuff up.
They've screwed up
the water mains.
It's been a nightmare.
They don't know what they're doing.
It's a clown circus out there.
It's a clown circus.
You're absolutely right.
Now, there's your bid process. Now, is it that way every time? Of course not.
No, it's not.
Because there are people that bid that know what they're doing.
Right.
But they're not going to... The old adage, you get what you pay for.
But let's say Erica Bryant, and this is not true. Don't anybody call Erica Bryant and tell her I said this, because it is not true. Let's say Erica Bryant is corrupt.
And she has a buddy in the construction business.
She's got a design company she's got an eye out for to design this project.
And this is illustrative purposes only. We are not saying anybody is corrupt.
Absolutely not. Quite to the contrary with Miss Bryant. So she hires her buddy, the Mike Martindale Pickleball Design Team. Okay?
We know that's going to be a winner.
And the Mike Martindale Design Team goes, all right, Erica, got you. Thank you for giving me this. I'll take good care of you.
Mike goes to AI and says, how do I design a pickleball complex? Yeah.
And then Mike Martindale Pickleball Design goes to his buddies, who he likes. He gets kickbacks. Hey, I'll build that $10 million pickleball complex for you. I'll take good care of you, Mike. And so Mike hires his buddies to build our pickleball complex. And he tells them, guess what? They've got $10 million for this. I promise you, every penny of that $10 million is going to be spent. Where the low bid, somebody might come in with a $5 million bid. Hey, I can build those courts for $5 million.
Okay. First of all, I like that the commission wants to do the pickleball facility right. They want to have something where we can get tournaments in here. We're not just slapping up the cheapest thing we can get and they want to do it. And do it right. I appreciate that.
But what if it's not a $10 million complex? Doing it this way, $10 million is going to get spent.
Not necessarily. There has to be oversight in the CMAR process.
Okay. Now, there is oversight. I'm glad you mentioned that, because to get qualified for a CMAR project, it has to go before the House and Senate Transportation Committee. in Baton Rouge. And so they have to stamp it. I have looked CMAR projects up. I haven't found a park done before with CMAR. Mm-hmm. I've found like coastal restoration, hospitals, schools. I think the LSU locker room was done with a CMAR process, which I find a little bit shady. But on the Transportation Committee on the Senate side, there's not a local lawmaker on that panel. Now, on the House side...
Well, you know, that could be a good thing.
It could be. It could be. And you'll have local lawmakers who'll say, yeah, do this with CMAR, or no, don't do it with CMAR. But on the House Transportation Committee, we do have Tammy Phelps and Joy Walters. And so they will probably be able to lobby for, hey, you know what? The Caddo Parish government, they are reputable. We think they'll handle this correctly and do it right. My problem with this is we don't need any more pickleball controversy. And they're dreading that we're talking about this today. They're like, oh, God, did y'all have to do this? Did you really? But do we really want government avoiding the bid process? Because you can reject bids if a company doesn't have a track record. I mean, there are ways to reject some bids. Should have maybe rejected Knight Street.
But that's what I was going to say. Yeah. How's let me just leave you with two words.
I know.
Knight Street.
I might even throw this apple at you today. That might happen.
Do.
That
Please
might.
Do.
you can see the story right now, keelnews.com. You agree with bypassing the bid laws or not?
Let us know. Yeah. On the Shreveport Security Systems message board, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Also on the, when we talked last segment, if you're just joining us, about the pickleball complex not using the bid process, but rather going through the CMAR process. Have you ever driven on a Louisiana highway?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I have.
Yeah, those were all done by the lowest bidder.
Right. I get that. I understand. The public bid law process is
flawed,
bit,
to say the at best.
I mean, yeah, I drive on it every day, and I'm watching it every day.
Ride a motorcycle on it, and you'll really have fun.
But should it be used for a park, for a pickleball park?
Why not? You're looking at $10 million.
Well, what if it could be done cheaper?
It very well may be.
I see. I don't think if you're the design company, the Mike Martindale design firm, I don't think you're going to talk to your buddies who build pickleball complexes and go, come in lower than $10 million. Let's be heroes here. You're going to go. They got $10 million. Build me your best park for $10 million. That's what's going to happen. We're going to spend $10 million now using this process. I'd be shocked if we don't.
I never thought I would be so as cynical as I am. I never thought I'd be that old man.
You know?
My grandfather, I still remember my grandfather yelling at Walter Cronkite every night. But... I'm not on the cynical end of this debate, ironically.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think you're onto something with regard to we will get a class act project. Doing it this way.
I appreciate that.
Doing it this way will make it be primo.
Something we can be proud of.
Yep. But it's still my money. I know they're going to say it's about revenue bonds, whatever.
Okay. Let's talk about something we just talked about yesterday that was built via the bid process, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the convention center.
Yeah.
Greg made a comment yesterday that really caught my ear. He said, this is not an old building. This is within its original first life,
mm-hmm.
unlike the municipal auditorium,
yes.
which was built in the 20s.
Right.
We understand there would be problems and issues to be dealt with. But the convention center, hell, Aaron, we can't even clean it. We can't get a power washer up there and make it look halfway decent. Not to mention elevators that don't work, doors that don't work, escalators that don't work, air conditioning that doesn't. I mean, let's go on.
Those bay doors in the back, are they still goofed up?
I don't know. I haven't.
I got a reply from Shelly Ragle on, you know, they have made headway on the elevators, and they're making headway on all the stuff that they need, which is good news. But
should we be having to deal with these kind of things?
Well, this is not
an old building. I understand there's maintenance.
Yeah.
I understand.
These are more maintenance issues than they are bid law. They really are. I mean, because when it opened, it was gorgeous. We were all thrilled with it. It was primo.
Well, a brand new Yugo on the showroom floor probably looked shiny and gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, you got a point. By the way, special day today coming up after 8 o'clock. U.S. Senator John Kennedy.
John Kennedy, mm-hmm. always entertaining, going to join us.
Yeah.
I love his proposal. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. They killed it.
Democrats didn't like it.
Nuh-uh.
We'll talk to him in about 30 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I asked you earlier, you took your hat off. How's your hair coming back?
It's slow.
Yeah?
I've got little nubs up there.
They say when you shave your hair, it could come back different.
I'm worried it's coming back white or gray.
Well, you are 39 years old.
Reuben!
I'm just saying.
He just wants a butt kicking today.
Just,
is he just asking for a butt kicking today?
I'm just saying.
I could take you down, you know.
He waited until after you ate your apple before he said that.
Yeah, he sure did. Now, I couldn't catch him. If he could run, I couldn't
right.
catch him. But if I catch him, I'm whooping his arse.
Yeah, because I'm not going to hit a woman. So
I know. Just, yeah. So I'm pounding your booty.
Okay,
bow.
But you said your brothers all have full heads, thick brown, dark brown.
Brown, black, yeah.
Hair.
They haven't gone gray or white. They have full heads of hair.
And they're older than you, aren't they? Most
oh, yeah.
of them.
Yeah, they're older than me. And I'm the baldest one in the family. But the thing is, the baldness gene comes from your mother, and all my mother's brothers were bald. And apparently it skips a generation. So my mother's sons are not balding. They don't even have bald spots.
See, my dad's father was bald. But the only picture I saw of my mom's dad, he died during World War II. He was a pilot. Ironically, he made it through his tour through the war and came back, and he was training young pilots and died in a crash.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
But the only picture I ever saw of him, handsome man, full, thick,
yes.
wavy hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I'm and which I still to this day, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But I saw a story and I thought, you're single.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me laugh because I don't need it, apparently. Would you date a guy who wore a fake beard? This is now apparently a thing.
Are you serious?
Men are buying wigs for their chins. They're buying fake beards.
No. It's a thing?
I'm speechless. I'm baffled.
How did that become a thing?
Isn't this crazy? I know. I just saw this story this morning. I was doing some reading. And
just let it grow.
Well, some guys can't.
Okay.
Some guys, you know,
they have bald chins.
It's kind of patchy or doesn't come in.
And they want a beard.
They want a beard. And I saw a picture of somebody posted a picture of Jason Momoa. If you know who that
is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Big, bulky.
Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones. And I mean, the most masculine. And then a picture of him without a beard. 180 degrees difference.
Wow.
And then they're like, sorry, ladies.
Yeah.
So.
Now, is this about laziness? Because if you get up and you don't have a beard, you have to shave pretty much every day, I would have guessed. Reuben, do you shave every day?
No.
Every other day?
Maybe once a week.
Okay. So they don't have to shave anymore? Just give me a fake beard and I don't have to shave any part of my face anymore.
I don't know. I think if you were to take a poll, I think women prefer masculine men.
With the beard?
Sure.
I don't know.
And my algorithms was, for a while, men who shaved their beards and then walked into the room with their little kids or their wives, and the kids freak out.
Yes, exactly. The one thing worse than a fake beard for me would be just a porn stash. No, that's got to go.
I'm looking over to Reuben.
I grow out my mustache and my sideburns for Opossum Where Art Thou shows because I like to look trashy.
Because you don't have one now.
No.
You're clean shaven now.
No, after shows, I get rid of them.
Okay.
And then I start growing them back for the next show.
Fake beards. That's
fake
interesting.
Fake beards is now a thing. Now, this company that they were talking about, they do them right. I think they're woven into this lace, and they look good.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Guys, just don't do toupees.
Stop it.
Just don't.
Please don't.
We know.
Yeah.
Every time.
Thank you. Every time.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter how much you spend on it. We know.
I got a text, me referencing my hair coming back white. You and Mike could be Mr. and Mrs. Claus. Don't pound sand. Mr. and Mrs. Claus.
Senator Kennedy joining us after the news, top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
So, no fake beards. For you.
Mm-mm.
I don't mean you, but you wouldn't.
Right.
So if you went out with somebody and then, like, you didn't know at the time.
Oh, and because, I find out later?
Yeah. Then what?
Well, if I've started having feelings, it might be a different thing. But if it's very brand new, nah.
What about a toupee?
I don't have a huge issue with a toupee.
So what's
the
difference?
As long as it's not, you know, falling off the side of your head.
You held on with a strap?
Right, exactly. Or it looks like you got a bird nest on your head.
Why?
Some of them are good, and some of them are horrible.
Even the good ones, I can tell.
Can you?
It's just something. 100%.
It's just something. It's not like, now Bruce Willis wore a toupee for years. Mm-hmm. And those were pretty good.
Yep, they were pretty good.
Burt Reynolds' is not so much.
Mm-mm.
No.
John Wayne's toward the end, not so much.
No.
Now, you know he had enough money to
get a good one.
And granted, back in the 70s, they probably weren't as good as they are today.
Oh, yeah, they're really good today. Much better.
But, I mean, if you're walking through the airport and you see a guy and you go, oh, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, just
go look in the mirror. Straighten that thing up. Yeah.
Cut the strap off of it.
Exactly.
God, yeah, the fake beard. You know, you go on a date with a guy, he's got this big full beard. Maybe you go home with him and he takes it off and puts it on like a mannequin head.
Right.
It's over.
Man.
It's over. He's going home.
The only thing worse than that is if he took his teeth out.
Right.
At least teeth are functional. You've got to have teeth.
Yeah, you got to have teeth. You got a point.
Senator Kennedy joining us after the news, top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
Earlier this morning, we were talking about the Caddo Parish Commission not going through the bid process. They're going through what's called CMAR, which, what does that stand for again?
Construction Management at Risk.
At Risk.
I'm not sure.
Process, which bypasses the bid process, which I've never been a fan of the lowest bid system. Again, I drive on roads in Louisiana. Now, I don't want to name names, but I did hear a construction owner talk about, because why are the highways in Texas so much better than the highways in Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
They're federal highways or even state highways. Why are they better? And his comment was, their requirements are different. Their construction requirements are different than Louisiana's.
Yep, their subsurface requirements are different. And we don't have to have
apparently better. Here.
Yes, absolutely. I heard the same conversation one day, gosh, 30 years ago. I'm at Ernest at an event. The sheriff was at the Sheriff Prater, who was maybe chief of police at the time. I don't know. He was at our table with a big constructing guy in town who said the exact same thing. The requirements are stiffer in Texas. That's why the roads are better in Texas.
You have to dig deeper and lay a thicker base, and it's got to be better material. It's just they have a more strict requirement process.
Well, I heard a week ago, Monday, at the Caddo Commission work session, I heard Erica Bryant say, we're going to forego the public bid law process for the pickleball complex and instead use what's called CMAR, Construction Management at Risk Program, which is something, it's a Louisiana law that allows you to go around the bid process, and you can then hire your design team. Your design team can then recommend who you should hire as the construction company. They can hire their subcontractors, and it doesn't have to be bid. Now, I guess you can take proposals, you know, from different design teams.
Sure.
You can take proposals from different contractors, but you don't have to take the lowest bid, which is required under the public bid laws. If the company's reputable and they have they have everything in order, you have to take the lowest bid.
I'm sorry, but I like this idea.
I'm worried that we'll spend all $10 million, that under this deal, the $10 million is going to be gone. I mean, you're going to tell the
design
team.
We've allocated $10 million, though. We've allocated. Now, if they come back and go, we need $15 million, go, let's rethink this.
But what if it truly could be built for $5
million? Well, you're okay.
What if it truly could be built good for $5 million? The way we're doing it now, we're going to spend $10 million. Mark my words, we're spending $10 million. And if we don't, what could I do? If we don't, I will write and sing a song praising Caddo Parish, the Caddo Parish Commission.
Reuben will write it for you.
Reuben and I will write a song, and I will sing it praising the Caddo Parish Commission. If we don't spend ten million under ten million, if we don't spend $10 million on pickleball,
so
doing it this way,
800,000, you're going to be singing.
I'll be singing.
Okay,
it's horrible singing, but I'll be singing.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. Senator Kennedy joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline.
Spend that money. Spend that money.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. One. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Senator John Kennedy joining us. Senator, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
You bet, guys. Good morning.
Good to hear your voice, sir. We've had reports surface about these commercial large drones that have been reported over Barksdale Air Force Base, 12 to 14 over multiple days. Have you heard any official reports? Is there anything you can tell us?
Well, I've seen the report. I haven't seen them with my own eyes because I've been stuck up here in D.C., but I have a meeting next week. I'm sorry, I don't recall with whom, to receive a classified briefing about what's going on. So I'm literally in the dark like everybody else. I'm semi encouraged that it doesn't seem to be. Well, there seems to be an explanation.
Oh, there does.
Well, I think this is an assumption, guys, but they know what it is, but it's classified and they don't want to talk about it publicly. I could be wrong. I'll find out next week. And if I can talk about it publicly, without violating 107 securities laws, I will do it.
Right.
It's concerning though, because I can't take my drone out near Barksdale and fly it because it gets jammed. These apparently were able to, you know, circumvent the jamming process. So these were way higher tech than you or I would have flying around just for fun. So that's what's concerning our community. These were not just regular old drones.
Well, I'm concerned too. I mean, if my people are concerned, I'm concerned. And I will try to find out what's going on. I remember, I'm not saying that the two situations are related, but I remember when that, you know, balloon came over, the Chinese spy balloon, and the Biden administration said, oh, don't worry about it, it's a balloon. Mm. Well, it was a lot more than a balloon, and we found out that the Chinese Communist Party had been sending balloons over on a number of occasions. I'm not saying that's the case here, but I'm going to do my dead level best to find out what's going on.
I also want to ask you about your resolution. I loved this, to withhold, and this was only for the Senate, withhold senators' pay during a government shutdown. But not surprisingly, that it got shot down, didn't it?
It did. And look, one thing that a lot of people don't understand is that the majority leader, who is the elected leader of the party in that has the most votes in the Senate, has total control of the floor. Nothing can be voted on without his okay. And it has taken me forever to get Senator Thune's permission to move that bill. In fact, he promised me that we would move it in what we call regular order, where I can make everybody vote. But he's never gotten around to it. So I brought this bill through what's called UC. It means that I can offer it, and if any single senator objects, it's not passed. I felt pretty sanguine about my chances because I went through the Rules Committee with my bill, which would have said none of us are paid during a shutdown in the Senate. Every single Republican and every single Democrat voted with me. I tried it by UC about 3 or 4 months ago, and Senator Rand Paul on my own side objected. But this time,
what was his objection?
You'd have to ask Rand.
Okay.
I was very disappointed. This time I moved the bill. Senator Paul, we were supposed to work all weekend, but Senator Paul was out of town. So I said, I'm going to be able to pass the bill. But one Democrat objected, and he did it without getting the floor. He just said, I object, and then ran out of the chamber. I've never seen that happen. Now, the parliamentarian said it was okay, but it was deeply weird. So I'll be back. I'm like the Terminator. I'll be back. I don't know when I'll try it again.
President Trump says that they are in talks with Iran to end the war. Iran says that's not true. Obviously, you believe the president. And are we close to ending this?
Second question, don't know. First question, the stone cold crazy leaders in Iran lie like fish swim. So I believe the president. We pretty much accomplished everything we went in there for. We've destroyed their missile production. We've destroyed their drone production. We've destroyed their Navy. We've destroyed their Air Force. We can fly anywhere we want. We've destroyed the infrastructure of the Revolutionary Guard. Predictably, I mean, everybody knew it was going to happen. They have some drones left, and they've got them hidden, and they're using it to keep ships from going through the Strait of Hormuz. Look, the president has information I don't have, but at some point I think we just need to declare victory and come home.
Do you see it? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to just say others say, well, you know, you haven't completely destroyed everything. You may have to go back. Yeah, that's true. But we've hit them pretty hard. And there's nothing left in terms of their military capacity. We've destroyed their ability to make a bomb. Could they try again? Sure. How long will it take? It'll take them decades to rebuild. And when they do, or if we see them trying, we can bomb again. I mean, I don't want to have to do this, but these people are stone cold crazy. If they get a nuclear weapon, they already have missiles that can hit Berlin and London. They're working on a missile that can hit the United States. If they get a nuclear weapon, they will use it. It's just that simple.
Right. Talking with Senator Kennedy's, do you see a situation where the U.S. goes, look, we've obtained our objectives, and we're coming home, but Israel continues their assault?
Israel is their own country, but Israel depends a lot on the United States for help.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the president says we're out, Israel will follow.
Okay, interesting. Now,
I really believe that. There's no way that in the June war, when we destroyed their nuclear uranium sites, there's no way Israel would have gone in by themselves. They may say they would, but they wouldn't, in my opinion.
Senator Kennedy, on the morning the war started, I went and filled up my gas tank, and I paid $2.18 a gallon. I'm paying $3.46 today. That is the problem in America. That is the problem in your state. When will that be corrected? How soon will these prices fall back down?
When we get out. I think when we get out, I can't guarantee it. I have to wait for the future like everybody else. But I think when we get out, things will gradually go back to normal. Remember, Iran... its only source of revenue is selling its own oil. That's its only source of revenue. And so if they shut down the strait, it hurts everybody else, but it hurts them the most. And that's what I really believe. But again, you know, I can't guarantee it. I mean, the gas prices hurt. Don't misunderstand me. But, Stevie Wonder could see this coming.
Right.
That's their only play. Once you've destroyed everything else, it's their only play. I'm very disappointed that some of our allies, France, mm-hmm. Germany, the United Kingdom, have not tried to help us. I've been very disappointed in that. We've been protecting them. Those European countries, they don't. They have like about six people in their army. They spend all their money on social programs, on welfare. And we have defended them for years. Mm. And the American people put up the money. And so in the last couple of years, because the president told them they had to, they've started to spend more money on defense. So they're doing a little better. But the United Kingdom wouldn't even let us use their air bases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after, you know, we're winning, the United Kingdom says it wants to help. But the president, has said, you know, listen, you know, you bunch of nerd bots, it's a little bit late, you know?
Yeah, that's like walking in, honey, can I help you with the dishes? Say she's drying.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, the Prime Minister, Starmer, the people of the U.K. can pick who they want to lead them, but his approach was, look, I'll hold your coat while you guys fight.
Right.
And we're like, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Senator Kennedy, we appreciate your time this morning. I hope if you get a briefing on Barksdale that you can share, please come back and join us.
I'll let you know. And if I can't share it, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
But there are things I can say, like you could should be worried or you shouldn't. And I mean, I'll tell you as much as I can.
Appreciate that, sir.
Fantastic. Thanks for making time for us. We sure appreciate it.
Happy Easter, guys.
Mm-hmm. You too. Thank you, Senator John Kennedy, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, interestingly, about the drones over Barksdale, this has made national coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's happened elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Other bases, in a report from, who is, quit this, a military report said over Barksdale Air Force Base, but also at an undisclosed location.
Hmm.
So there's other reports of these drones. Now, Senator Kennedy told us they know what it is.
They have an explanation.
They have an explanation, but they're not saying yet.
Right, and it's going to be classified. I mean, I'm sure it is. I would like to know if there's 12 of them that flew over Barksdale.
12 to 14, they said.
I promise you we got one of them. We got at least one of them. There's no way Barksdale didn't shoot one down, didn't catch one, didn't, mm-hmm. you know, detain one.
Be able to jam a signal or
yes.
something.
And that way we will know, we'll have some information about who it is, who's doing it, where they're doing it from. Because you know the high tech of these, they weren't close by. They were probably far away and operating them. They probably are such high tech that they could be, you know, way distance away and still do it. So I don't know. I just know when you lock down an Air Force base that has nuclear weapons and B-52s, which are involved in the war in Iran, it's not good.
No, it's not good.
It's not good.
And the report said they did fly over sensitive areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I am anxious about this, and I do want to hear some explanation.
Okay.
From Barksdale.
I do too. I hope he can share some information with us, you know, after he gets briefed. It's kind of frightening, to be quite blunt.
It actually absolutely
they got
is.
That close, definitely. Can we fight in about 10 minutes?
Sure. Again. Yeah, of
Ruben,
course.
Ruben, give me something to throw.
Now, the only thing is, by the way, if there were a huge nuclear attack, we would probably never know because Barksdale will be one of the first targets.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Vaporized.
Now, we may know it's on the way, but...
Yeah. Incoming.
Yeah.
Gosh, what do you do? Yeah.
You just make sure you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready today.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I've got a better place waiting for me.
Me too.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, the pickleball complex part is back in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Caddo Parish Commission is not going to go through the bid process.
They're asking to be able to circumvent the bid process.
It's a thing called CMAR.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Right, there's a story on keelnews.com. No public bid for Caddo Pickleball Complex. And you're upset about this. You don't like this.
Well, I'm a little concerned about it because I did not even know about the CMAR law that we have in Louisiana, which is a construction blah, blah, at risk. What's it called? Construction management at risk.
Right.
And you can use this law to avoid the public bid law. award, certain projects.
Award a contract to construct public works when deemed in the public interest, beneficial to the owner, and in accordance with the procedures in this section.
Mm-hmm. At keelnews.com, you can see the link to the bill, to the law, which is RS 38.
Right.
And you can read the verbiage on the bill, on the law. It is the law. You can use CMAR for projects that are ranging from coastal protection to building new schools to building roads to building hospitals. I think they did the LSU locker room improvements using the CMAR process, which lets you kind of handpick your design team and then handpick your construction team. Here's where I have a problem with this law. In that if you have a great, wonderful, non-corrupt government and leadership, this might be a great thing. But we have kind of a history of corruption in Louisiana.
In Louisiana?
Yes, we do. And things like this could be abused.
Okay. It could be abused.
I'm going to say that to tell you, I think the Caddo Parish Administrator, Erica Bryant, who made mention of this during the work session a week ago, just briefly mentioned it. We're going to use CMAR instead of the bid process for the pickleball complex. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the comment that she made, and I believe it was her administrator's report. I may be wrong. And I heard it, and I went, remember to check on that. So I sent her an email asking about that, and she said, yes, we are planning to use the CMAR law, and she sent me the revised statute link and all that to do this. She says it'll save time and it will save money. Now, is Erica Bryant corrupt? Absolutely not. And if you're telling me you think I said that, that's absolutely not what
right.
I said.
Nor are we saying anybody on the commission is.
No, we're not. We're and absolutely
the
not.
And I will say, historically, the Caddo Parish Commission, first of all, they're flush with money.
Yes, they are. They are.
They seem to be responsible mm-hmm. with Caddo Parish tax dollars. So we're not saying anything against the commission.
No.
I would like to know what instigated them to use this CMAR process instead of the bid process. Now, I'll also say I am not a fan of the lowest bid process. Not at all. Have you driven on any Louisiana highway?
Yeah.
How's Knight Street working out for you?
With the low bidder, yeah.
With the lowest bidder constructed.
Did you have to bring that up?
Because they're already, what, a year over?
A year overdue.
Deadline. They're overdue.
Supposed to be April 17th. It's not going to be April 17th.
They've screwed up the water lines and power lines.
Yep.
They've
mm-hmm.
screwed up stuff.
I'll come home and I don't know if I have water or not because they've hit another water line or something's gone wrong.
This company, I don't even know the company, but they apparently are in over their head.
They
were the lowest bidder.
And because they were a responsible bidder, they had to get the deal. Now, they hadn't done a whole lot of projects like this before. And so that's what you get in CMAR. You get to hone in on who does great pickleball parks. Who are the cream of the crop that does pickleball parks? Who mm-hmm. are the great design teams? Who are the great construction companies that do this? You don't have to just put it out there for any old construction company to say, hey, me and Jim Bob, we can build you a pickleball court.
Yeah.
We got this.
Let's see. We put out bids for recycling.
Yeah.
And the lowest bid, they don't have any recycling trucks.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't have a staff. Mm-hmm. Oh, they've never done recycling before.
Hmm.
The lowest bid process really needs to be reevaluated.
Now, in the case of that, the recycling, that was deemed to be an unresponsive bid because they weren't a viable company.
I understand that, we're not having to deal with them today.
In the case of Knight Street, they were deemed to be a responsible bidder, though they didn't have a whole lot of experience, apparently. And now we're dealing with the ramifications of we took the lowest bid because mm-hmm. that's what we're required to do. My question is, why don't you just do everything, CMAR? Do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything, CMAR. You get the best product. You get the best companies. Here's why you don't. Because you'll spend more money. Mark my words, every dollar of the $10 million will be spent. If we bid it, somebody might could do it for $5 or $6 million. Mike could do a great job, too.
But I'll also go on the record saying I appreciate the commission's efforts to do this right as far as building a pickleball complex that we will be able to bring tournaments in. People will come not just from, you know, neighborhoods around Shreveport, mm-hmm. but they're going to bring tourists in, and it's something that we can be they're looking to do it right, and yeah. I appreciate that. Well, if we're going to do something, let's do it right.
Well, all I would caution is that we all know how much brouhaha pickleball caused in this community and is still causing. To now go and say, we're going to circumvent the bid process law.
Well, you're going to have
people
paid people.
Are going to scream and holler, and I know they're going to say, well, it's because of you, McCarty, if you just shut up.
But the people are going to scream and holler regardless.
We're absolutely right.
We're going to clean up trash along I-20, and it's going to not cost the taxpayers anything.
Where are you going to put the trash? What are you going to do with it?
Are you going to recycle it?
People are going to bitch and moan about something. Somebody's going to.
Yep, they're going to bitch and moan. I just think we're now automatically assuring this costing $10 million. And if it's a penny under $10 million, Ruben's going to write me a song praising the Caddo Parish Commission.
I can't wait to hear this song.
Praising their good work and their responsibility and saving the town money. And I'm going to sing it on the radio. But they're going to spend $10 million, mark my words.
If they do, we've allocated $10
million. You're right.
Now, if they come back and go, well, we need $16
million. Have a couple of change orders. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more.
Then you'll have to start going, wait a minute, mm-hmm. wait a minute.
And somebody else needs to
sing. But we've allocated $10 million. If it costs $10 million, then it costs $10 million.
But if we bid it and we got it for five and it was a great company that did it,
Yeah, Yeah. How's Knight Street working out for you?
Hey! Hey!
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I did try to turn on the city council meeting yesterday, turn it on, tune it in, stream it, and your mic's not on.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
That's all right.
Got to turn on my mic.
I don't know. It was too long before they ever got into actual city business to where I'm like, I can't sit here and waste my time with all of this.
Yeah. They did a lot of resolutions honoring folks and all
honoring
that.
Honoring different people. Great. Congratulations to those people, but let's get on with city business.
That's why I record the meetings, and then I can fast forward.
Commission's
to the
bad about
parts.
That, too, I will say.
Oh,
that.
They are. They absolutely are. Well, the measure for the Domestic Violence Center to spend $125,000 on staffing for the Domestic Violence Center was pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Grayson Butcher made a motion to pull it from the agenda to dispose of it, essentially, and say, nah, we're not going to do this after all.
Did he say why?
He didn't really. Well, yeah, he kind of did. He said this thing got too kind of sideways and there were too many cooks in the kitchen, essentially, kind of was what he said.
Well, it turned out it's not even was planned to be at the North Market substation.
And never was, according to Sheriff Whitehorn.
Right.
Because I texted Sheriff Whitehorn after the meeting, and I said, I assume you're moving forward with plans for a domestic violence center at North Market.
Right.
Because that's what we'd been hearing. And he said, quote, I'm moving forward with plans at 1501 Corporate Drive, which is right across the street from Caddo Correctional. Off of Forum Drive and North Hearn.
So did he change and go, now I'm going to go here? Because it's not going in at North Market? Or it never was intended for the North Market Shreveport Police substation?
The substation was not part of Caddo Parish Sheriff's Office plan. That's a quote from Henry Whitehorn. That was not part of our plan.
How?
How did it get sideways?
How?
I don't understand. I don't understand how it got so convoluted, but it got convoluted. The sheriff's going to move forward. He's going to run it. He may have some other agencies help run it. I think the district attorney's office is going to assist. They're going to need some lawyers to help with protective orders or some legal staff, you know, some, what do you call them, legal secretaries or somebody like that, paralegals.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need some help getting people to counseling, finding where you can get counseling services. But he's moving forward, and he's not going to wait for the city
money.
Which
is good.
Because, you know, seriously, spending city money and taking it from police equipment for salaries, I don't care who you are, that was always a bad idea.
Right.
Always.
Right.
Because what about next year? Do you take more money from police equipment? Do you fire the people? Do you find funding sources somewhere
right.
else?
This is a recurring fund. This is not a one-time purchase.
Not a good idea. So the city's out. The sheriff's going to run it. He's going to get it up and going as soon as he can.
Seems like we could have saved a lot of confusion and a lot of time.
Yeah, I think if he had been there Monday and explained his plan, I think we would have, we would have nixed everything in the bud on Monday. We'd have been done. But, oh well, we got a little bit of confusion.
Ifs and buts were candy and nuts.
Yeah, you're right.
101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.